your Bibles to Romans 15. And hopefully y'all don't mind if I sit down. And if you do mind, sorry about that. This is going to be a short message, I believe. But I got to tell you a story. Back when I was 6 or 7 years old, I have my first memory of church. Is that the First Baptist Church in Cadillac, Michigan? And at some point during the message, and I can't quote here, the pastor said that Jews were God's chosen people. And that's really the first thing I remember from church growing up. But my immediate response was, well, then how come we're not Jews? I remind you, I was 6 or 7 years old. Didn't have a lot of theology knowledge at that point. Well, today, we're going to learn it. Although God had chosen the Jews as his people, he didn't forget about the Gentiles. Because, as we all know, God elected those who he would save, his chosen people, before time began, long before there were any Jews or Gentiles. So while God selected the Jews as his chosen people, he also chose a lot of Gentiles too. And I was slightly worried when Stephen started the communion portion of our service that he was going to preach my message. Because I titled my sermon, No Plan B. And I didn't tell him that, so I'm assuming that it was the right thing to do. So, if you were at Romans 15, what we're going to go over today should be very familiar to you. So, let me start at verse 7, where we read from 7 through 13. And Paul wrote to the church at New Rome, therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. And as it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again it said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, Even he who arises to rule the Gentiles, in him will the Gentiles hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for allowing us to gather here this morning to hear your word. God, I pray that you would open our hearts, open our minds to what you have to tell us. Help us to grow in you. Help us to glorify you. And help us to grow more and more in our love for you and our understanding of you every day. God, I pray that the words you give me this morning, first off, that you would give them to me and that I would speak them faithfully, that people would understand what it is you're trying to teach. God, I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we start this morning with Paul saying, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. So let's back up one page in my Bible, it's one page, to Romans 14. And Paul said, as for the one who's weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands and falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. And then if you jump back over to last week, Romans 15, verse 5 and 6, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are to welcome brethren, whether they are strong in the faith, strong in their knowledge, or weak. Whether they are long-time, knowledgeable Christians, or whether they're new, just been saved Christians that know almost nothing. They are still our brothers and sisters, so we're to welcome them and not look down on them, or not look up to them, either one. And in verse 6, he tells them, I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised, to the Jews, to show God's truthfulness in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs. So who are the patriarchs? Not a rhetorical question. Anybody?
Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Exactly. So what were the promises? Go back to Genesis 12. Genesis 12, verse 1 through 3. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you'll be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Not just his families, but all the families. So Abram did that. Jump forward to Genesis 26. Genesis 26, again starting at verse 1. Now there was a famine in the land, beside the former famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Gerar to Abimelech, king of the Philistines. And the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Dwell in the land of which I shall tell you. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and will bless you. For to you and to your offspring I will give all these lands, and I will establish the oath that I swore to Abraham your father. I will multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven, and give to your offspring all these lands. And in your offspring all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. So God told Isaac, I'm going to bless the world. If you do this, what I swore to Abraham, I'm going to do for you. Your family, your offspring, are going to bless all the nations of the earth. So we have a promise to Abraham. We have a promise to Isaac. Now, jump over to Genesis 28. Starting at verse 10. Genesis 28, 10 through 15. Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he came to a certain place and stayed there that night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he placed it under his head and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and to your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. So we have the promise to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob that their offspring will bless the entire earth. So how did that happen? Acts 3. Acts 3, 22 to 26. Moses said, this is Peter speaking in Solomon's portico. Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. to your fellow Jews. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you, and it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. And all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and those who came after him also proclaim these days. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your father, saying to Abraham, and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness. So God sent his prophet, Jesus, to the Jews to bless them by turning them from their wicked ways. Back in Romans 15, verse 9. I'll reread 8 again. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the uncircumcised, to the circumcised, to show God's truthfulness in order to confirm the promises made to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. Let's go to John 1. John 1, starting at verse 10. He was in the world. John's referring to Jesus now. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, the Jews, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Jesus came to his people. He came to the Jews. But jump over to John 10. In John 10, starting verse 11, we are told, Jesus speaking here, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd does not own the sheep. Sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. Jesus' sheep are the Jews. But then he says, I have other sheep, i.e. the Gentiles. and he has to go get them. And when he does, there will be one herd of sheep, the Jews and the Gentiles together. There's no division. And this is part of what Paul was getting at in Romans, which we'll go back to. There should be no division between the Jew and the Gentile. We are all Jesus' sheep. Now, the second part of 15:9, he says, as is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. Where it is written, 2 Samuel 22, don't go there, verse 50. And then David says the same thing in Psalm 18:49. So you have the prophet, and you have the Psalms, both of which are saying the same thing, that Jesus will be praised among the Gentiles. This had to be kind of a what moment. What with a question mark, kind of a what? For the Jews, because they have a long history of not getting along with the Gentiles. And then in 15:10, Paul says, and again it said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. That's from the Song of Moses, back in Deuteronomy 32. So even at that point in Deuteronomy, while they were all marching through the, well, I guess they weren't, yeah, they were still marching through the wilderness, Moses is saying that the Gentiles are going to rejoice with God's people. Verse 11, Paul says, and again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the people extol him. Psalm 117. Psalm 117 says, praise the Lord, all nations, extol him, all people. For great is his steadfast love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Paul has not quoted Moses, Samuel, David, and I'm pretty sure that was David also. Not sure. What Paul is doing is tracing the history of the oracles saying that the Gentiles are going to be just as much a part of Christ's kingdom as the Jews, because throughout Jewish history, that's what's been taught. Finally, verse 12, and again Isaiah says, so now we have prophets at an end. The root of Jesse will come, even he who attests is to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope. That's from Isaiah 11:10. And basically, it's a quote from 11:10, so we don't need to necessarily go there. So who's Jesse? Jesse was David's father. So the root of Jesse would be David. So David was Jesse's son. But what was one of the most often used names for Jesus?
Huh? Son of David.
Son of David, that's right. So, when Isaiah said the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles, in him will the Gentiles hope, he's talking about Jesus coming to rule the Gentiles and to give them hope. Now, back to Revelation. John saw, angel saw the scroll with seven seals, and I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals? And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals. So Jesus is not only the root of David by implication, since David is the root of Jesse, then Jesus is the root of Jesse. So, Jesus came to his own. He came to the Jews, but he also came for the Gentiles, because those Gentiles were elected before time began to be saved. So we know that Jesus came to save some Jews, but he came to the Jews first. He saved. They get technical here. The word Jew, Jewish, comes from Judah. The people of the tribe of Judah were called Jews. So, technically, Abram wasn't a Jew. Isaac wasn't a Jew. Jacob wasn't a Jew, the way that we use the term. So Jesus came to Abram's family and offspring, not necessarily to Jews. It's just at the time Jesus gave up his throne in heaven to come down here, they pretty much, the only people left in the promised land were the Jews, were the descendants of Judah. So Jesus came to the offspring of Abram, but even then, not to all the offspring. He just came to the offspring of Isaac. But he also came for those of us who are not Isaac's offspring. And as Paul starts to wrap up his letter to the churches in Rome, he says what we said for the last month as we close our service. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that in the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Romans 12:12 says we should rejoice in hope. And 14:17, which we heard last week, tells us, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating or drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upholding. Paul is saying, may God fill you with hope and joy in believing, which is what we should have. If we believe in Christ, the Son of God, that he came here, he gave up his throne, he gave up his glory, he came here, spent 33 years, roughly, living as a human, yet never once sinned. And that 2,000 years ago, he entered Jerusalem on this day. If preparation for the final week of his life. A week that the gospel writer John spent like two-thirds of his book telling us about. And then he suffered under Pontius Pilate. He was tortured. He was hung on a cross. He suffered not just physically from the torture he was given, but suffered the wrath of God on behalf of those of us who are saved. God poured out the punishment of our sins on the perfect, righteous, sinless Son. He gave up his ghost, his Holy Spirit. He died, was buried, and 3 days later rose again, claiming victory over death. And God viewed that death, that punishment, as the price that had to be paid to save us. Jesus was perfectly righteous. And if you have been saved, if you have acknowledged him as your Savior, then that righteousness is credited to you because your sins have been put on him. And that's what he came for. That's why Gentiles should praise him, why we should praise him, and why we gather together to grow in our knowledge of him and to show how much we love him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, I thank you for allowing us together here this morning. God, I pray that the words I've spoken were faithful to what you gave me. God, I thank you for getting me through this with my voice. God, I just pray that you would help each of us to remember this, to think about this, to realize what a great gift this has been. The grace that you've shown us that you didn't have to do. You could have just as easily got along without any of us. God, I just pray that you would watch over us. Help us to continue growing in you. And God, I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you will open your hymnals up, we may just well sing that last verse of 97. Mama?